As I've often said, when I come up and preach, what better thing to preach about than things that I God is bringing me through. So as I speak this morning, I just want you to know that these are things that I struggle with and that God is teaching me and helping me go through. So let's dive in. So 8 years ago, my wife and I experienced one of the toughest trials that we have ever been through in our lives. I will never forget sitting at work one day and the doctor calling and telling me that my daughter has brain tumors. You know, we've been going through a big time of sickness and we had no idea what was going on. And this was a tough, tough time because this was a journey of probably close to a year trying to figure out what was going on with our daughter. It started out with back pain and then it rolled on to more severe symptoms, and we had no idea what was going on. And so we were looking for an answer, and sometimes when you're looking for an answer, you kind of wish you weren't looking for an answer, if you know what I mean. So I got that phone call from the doctor saying that my daughter has brain tumors, and he said, unfortunately, given the location where they were at, they were inoperable. I was in shock. You know, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. And I remember picking up the phone to call my wife thinking, how am I going to tell her this? The next 2 years proved to be the hardest 2 years of our lives. You know, we were in and out of the hospitals. It was a time filled with uncertainty. One day things would be going great, and the next day, everything would be falling apart. While I was going through this difficult time, I wasn't sure why this was happening. But when I look back through that trying time, I can see that God taught me so many things. Some of the things that I learned, how little control we really have in life. It's a great lesson, but a tough lesson. How to better depend on God, and the importance of having a church family. I don't know how we would have made it if God hadn't surrounded us with such great people. I just don't know how we would have done it. Trials come in many different forms. They come in the form of disappointments, frustrations, misunderstandings, unfulfilled dreams, great loss, sickness, and fear. There are all kinds of different trials that we face in our lives. Everyone who lives in this world will endure trials. It's a consequence of the fall. It's a natural result of sinful human nature and of a world which is corrupted by sin. And even though we are God's own children, we are still not exempt from trouble. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. And Paul reminded Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. And Jesus himself was not able to avoid trouble. We all go through trials. It's a part of life. And as I said before, no matter who you are, you will go through trials. God allows us to go through trials to test us. And this morning, I want to share with you a scripture that God has been walking me through for quite a while. It seems that he brings it up quite frequently. It's funny how through this, I've had little ones come up to me and quote this scripture. And I've been talking to friends at the pool and it comes up. And oftentimes when I'm going to work, I listen to sermons and this keeps coming up. So I'm very thankful, and it's really neat to see how God brings things up in our lives and to show us. Sometimes, if you're like me, a little hard-headed and you don't get it, he'll continue to bring it up until you do. So let's walk through that scripture. It's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom fails and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. One of the reasons for the book of James was written, the book of James was written, is to urge readers to examine their faith to see if it's genuine. If our faith in Christ is genuine, it will prove itself in times of trouble. For this reason, the book of James is invaluable to both unbelievers as well as believers, because a faith in Christ that only works when things are going well is no faith at all. I've learned, and I'm still learning, that a big part of getting through trials and having a joyful attitude is understanding why we go through such trials. So today, we're going to go through several reasons why we go through trials. So number one, to test the strength of our faith. How strong is your faith? God knows, but we need to know. So God brings trials in our life to demonstrate to us the strength or weakness of our faith. We see an example of this in 2 Chronicles 32:31, verse 31, with King Hezekiah. The Bible says, God left him alone only to test him, that he might know all that is in his heart. God knows everything, so he already knew what was in Hezekiah's heart, but he wanted Hezekiah to know the truth about it for himself. God doesn't have to test us to find out what's in our hearts. He already knows. God tests us so we can find out. When you go through a trial, it will reveal the strength or weakness of your faith. If you find yourself angry, shaking your fist at God, or stressed and worrying all the time, it's a good indicator that you have weak faith. On the other hand, if you find yourself going through a trial and resting in the Lord, trusting him, and letting him carry the burden, that would be a good indicator that your faith is strong. While we go through trials, number two, to humble us. The greater our blessings, the more Satan will tempt us to look on these blessings as our own rather than the Lord's. When we do this, it will make us proud rather than humble. Paul gives us a testimony of this in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. When everything is going great, it is really easy for us to get full of ourselves. But what we really need is to be full of God. There's another purpose for trials. To wean us from our dependency on worldly things. The more successful we are, the more money and possessions we have, the more we tend to depend on them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves. But it's easy for us to let them become our focus and the basis of our security. When we start to depend on worldly things, God may send trials into our lives to wean us off of these things. We see an example of worldly dependence in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Philip failed the test. Philip looked only to material resources, not to Jesus, to meet these needs. And what about Moses? Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's house. He had been raised as a prince. He had all the education, all the money, pretty much anything you could ever want. But he gave it all up because he knew that these things were worthless compared to God. The writer in Hebrews tells us, by faith, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ and as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses passed the test. What other purposes are there for trials? To call us to our eternal hope. Sometimes God allows us to go through trials to help us not to focus on what's to come to us on earth, but in heaven. Paul said it the best in Romans 8:18 through 23. "Yet we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we as believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of a future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. If you are in Christ, the earth is not your home. And sometimes God will allow us to experience difficult trials to remind us of this fact. What else? To reveal who we truly love. Nothing and no one should be dearer to us than the Lord. When we put people or things before the Lord, it is idolatry. In Luke 14:26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Now, Jesus isn't saying to hate everybody, including yourself. That would contradict countless other scriptures. What he is saying is that our love for him must be first and most. We must do the will of God first and foremost, no matter what our family and friends think. While we go through trials, number 6, to better help others in the midst of their trials. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus knew that Simon Peter was about to deny him. Not once, but three times. So Jesus told him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Luke 22:31-32. Peter's trials were not only given to him to strengthen him, but also prepare him to strengthen others. This is still true for us today. Have you struggled with a sick child or spouse? If so, God has equipped you to help others in the same struggle. Have you ever struggled with addictions and found deliverance in Christ? If so, God has equipped you to help others that are going through the same struggle. I cannot tell you how many times I was comforted by people in our church family while I was going through my daughter's sickness. There were so many times that I would go to them and tell them I was struggling, and they'd take time to help comfort me and share what they had learned going through the same thing or something similar. I thank God for those people. He sent to me to help walk me through those times. I mean, those people always took the time, and it meant the world to me. I can't explain how much that meant. And I just think, I mean, and those of you that know who you are, you know who you are. Just thank you, because I just don't know how I would have made it if you wouldn't have been obedient and took the time to share with me. But some of you still may say, "Well, JJ, you don't know what I'm going through." And you're probably right. I don't. But I promise you, there is somebody here that does. You know, but we can only help if you open up. You know, you got to open up to us. God has gifted us with a lot of special people at Parkway. Trust me, I mean, we've got some of the finest people you'll ever meet here. And I know that they will be willing to walk with you if you let them. Paul sums up this principle in his words to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Number 7, to develop strength for greater usefulness. Trials come to develop strength for greater usefulness. I like how John MacArthur put it. He said, "As we go through trials, our spiritual muscles are exercised. We get stronger for the next trial. The more trials we go through, the more useful we are to the Lord." Don't get me wrong, I'm not volunteering for trials. but it is encouraging to know that when I'm going through a trial, God will use it for his purpose. So let's review what we've learned about why we go through trials. First, to test the strength of our faith. It is important to know whether our faith is strong or weak. Second, to humble us. This will help us to not to become proud and confident in ourselves rather than God. Third, to wean us from our dependency on worldly things. Our dependence should be on God alone, not on worldly things. Fourth, to call us to our eternal hope. This will help us focus that which is above, not below. Fifth, to reveal who or what we really love. Who or what do you really love the most? Sixth, to better help others in the midst of their trials. What a blessing it is to be there to help others as they go through trials. Seventh, to develop strength for greater usefulness. We must work our spiritual muscles in order to get stronger. As I said earlier, I think one of the things that helps us get through trials in life is to understand why we go through them. through this study in James, God has taught me to step back during tough times, take a breath, and realize I am going through these things for a reason. I need to stop and ask God, what is he trying to teach me? And I need to trust him. I've noticed when I respond to my trials God's way, I catch myself getting excited for what God is going to do with me in the future. I will add that this is not something I have mastered, but by God's grace, I am getting better. I hope that this has been a help for those of you who have been struggling with difficult circumstances. It sure has been a help to me. And I want to leave you with one last thing from Paul. In 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, he says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you are always with us. Lord, I thank you for the godly people that you've surrounded me with in my life. And God, I thank you that you've walked me through these and the trials that we've been through with my daughter's sickness. And I thank you that you've been right there by my side. And I thank you that you've sent other people by my side to walk with me. And Father, I just pray that maybe there's someone out there today that is going through an extreme difficulty. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, they would give that to you. That, God, that they would find that peace in you. And Lord, maybe they don't have that relationship. Maybe someone's out there today that they don't have that relationship with you, and that's why they can't find peace in that trial, and they don't find that hope. They don't find security because, Lord, they don't have you. And I pray if that's the case, that, Lord, as we have our time of invitation, that as I stand out here in the front, that they would come and share that. I would love to share with them more about what it is to have a personal relationship with you. And Father, as I close, Lord, I just I thank you for your love for us, and I just pray that, Lord, each day that we would all grow closer to you, and that we would find that peace in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to have a time of invitation, and as I step down here, maybe there's something that you're struggling with that you haven't given to God, and the altar is always open. Maybe you want to come up here and pray, and that's fine. Maybe you don't have that relationship with Christ, and I would love to share with you more about what it is to have that relationship. That would be a great time to come. Maybe you've been visiting for a while and you want to come join the church. I would love to share with you more about what it is to be a member at Parkway and be there for it. So we're going